Are you looking for valuable business advice to reach that seven-figure revenue mark? Do you want actionable tips to properly navigate through every business challenge you encounter along the way? Let Tersh Blissett and Josh Crouch be your guide in getting you to the top here at Service Business Mastery. Tune in as they sit down with world-renowned authors in business, leadership, and personal growth who share valuable insights about management, marketing, pricing, human resources, and so much more. Let their nuggets of wisdom gold guide you in owning a thriving, profitable, and ever-growing business. Here are your hosts, Tersh and Josh.
Hello, everyone out there in podcast world. Hope you're having a wonderful day. You're listening to or watching Service Business Mastery Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tersh Blissett, sitting across the table from my co-host, Joshua Crouch. And we are at the Home Service Freedom event in Orlando, Florida.
It's the end of the event. Tersh has finally figured it out.
Right.
Home Service Freedom, Orlando, Florida, JW Marriott.
JW Marriott, it's 2023, and yeah, we are here with the world famous Doug Wyatt. So your stuff means so much to me that I carry it around with me every day. So we were together about a month ago, and your course, you had a breakout session, and you were talking about all the words that I use incorrectly, the wrong words that I use, and I realized how ignorant I was being and saying lots of let me see.
Tersh, can I just say for the audience listening today, those were your words and you were part of the audience. I don't think I actually said you were saying anything incorrectly.
That's what he heard.
Yeah, I didn't also say anything about him being from South Georgia or ignorance. That was all Tersh, and I said nothing of the sort. But we did talk about the words that we share matter. We did do that.
Yeah. So you have a synergy. You've been in the trades. You've had businesses.
Yeah.
For those who don't know who you are, can you give a quick synopsis of yourself?
Yeah, I'd love to, and I appreciate that. Thank you, guys, Josh and Chris. Chris.
That's
Thank
fine.
You, Josh and Tersh, for having
call me whatever.
Have me on the show. I'm not going to take a lot of time here on my background, but I do think it's relevant to start way back. I grew up in a small little country town in the Ozark Mountains, just north of the Arkansas border in southwest Missouri, and I was raised on 10 acres. Most of my friends were farmers. I baled more hay than I'd even like to remember. I grew up working on tractors and lawnmowers, changing out brakes and transmissions and
all the fun stuff.
All that stuff. We built a house from the ground up and did all of our own electrical and plumbing and flooring. And man, we worked hard. We worked up sun up to sundown. My dad reminded my brother and myself every day that we had it good because he grew up in a one-room shack on a dirt floor with an outhouse, no indoor plumbing until the eighth grade. And we did have it a little bit better than that, and but man, I knew I wanted more. I played a couple of years of college ball and went off to the University of Colorado. While there, I was tired of being broke, started a door-to-door sales company. That was my first entry into figuring out how to run a sales process. That gave me the resources to go and follow people that were great back in the 90s, like Dr. Stephen Covey, who wrote The 7 Habits, Tony Robbins, Zig Ziglar, Tom Hopkins, Jim Rohn, Wayne Dyer. You name it. I set up my college schedule my junior year so that every Wednesday I was done and I'd fly around and I'd listen to those greats. And I just take crazy amounts of notes. I'm meticulous. And then I've always prided myself on implementation. And I think it was because of my upbringing. I never wanted to go back. I love the small town. I love the people I grew up with. But I wanted real opportunity. And so I've been in Colorado for a long time. I've had restaurants. I got into the HVAC business with an HVAC and plumbing company in Colorado Springs in late 2006. So I've been in the trades almost 18 years now. And with that company, with another gentleman, we grew that company to Inc. 5000 status in 2009. That landed us a training opportunity across the country, worked with some major manufacturers, trained over 1,000 small business owners to sell with integrity. No lying, no cheating, no stealing, no manipulation. Sell with integrity, serve customers better, aim at your company better. I got burnout on that. I left the training side in 2015, partnered with a small ma and pa in Denver, Colorado after 18 years. They had no dispatch software. They had no internet. They had no call center. They had no wrap.
We just talked about that with Sebastian. We were just talking about the slow adoption rate of the trade. So it's interesting. The next topic is like, they had nothing.
Yeah, Josh, I mean, this company in 2015, good guys doing good installs. No uniforms, two trucks, two sons driving those trucks.
They were wrap trucks, right?
No, but they didn't have a logo on them. We wrapped them, though, and we increased everything there. I just put intellectual property work. I did not go into that company for more than one day a week. I wanted to prove that you could do this without being a slave to the business, that we could implement systems and processes. And 14 months later, we took a company that was two trucks, no brand, no internet, no website, no call center, no CRM. They were dispatching two trucks off Yahoo Calendar. And we won Linux Partner of the Year 14 months later. And it was a hard work, man. It's probably the hardest 14 months, so it wasn't easy. The next year, and I like to be very authentic and tell the truth, because I think sometimes we hear these amazing stories of 0 to 60 million or 100 million, mm-hmm. companies going to 50. Yeah, we did not do that. This was a company 18 years with 800,000 in revenue. And within a few years, we were doing 8 million, won Linux Partner of the Year. But the thing I wanted to share with the audience and both of you is it's not all wine and chocolates and roses. In 2017, we almost went out of business. I got a call that we were 90 days past due with our major manufacturer installing. We were a large chunk with our second line we were carrying. We were a large chunk at another supply house, and we got cut off. And so in 2017, after winning Linux Partner of the Year, we put the halt on any growth, and we just refined systems. We worked on KPIs. We worked on fixing the things that had got there. I mean, we were buying three trucks at a time. We'd go down to the Dodge dealership, pick up three trucks. So now you're at 40 G's per truck, right? Then you wrap each one of them for $4,000 each, and then you throw some Mastercraft shelving on there for another $3,500, and then you put $12,000 or $15,000 of inventory. You got to put a man in the truck. You got to get their uniforms. And now you got to market. You got to increase your marketing budget, right, Josh? Yep. You got to have more leads for those guys to sell. It's something that I think all of us can relate to. And so we darn near closed our doors. And it was really a miserable time. But you're not out unless you quit. And so we got refocused. We didn't lose anybody. Nobody ever missed a paycheck except me and the two business owners for a while. But that's part of the risk, right? And the next year, like a phoenix rising from the ashes, I'm proud to say that not me, but an entire team of men that dove in and women that worked probably harder than they've ever worked in their lives, we came back and won Linux Partner of the Year in 2018. So we won, and then we almost lost big and almost went bankrupt, which, that would have been bad. Really bad for many reasons, for many families.
That's a wild story, because it jogged my memory on how I first got into the trades. The first company I ever worked at, we had no line of credit. Mm. We couldn't get any money because the owner had terrible credit. He owed Gustav Larson. I found out later how much he owed from the commercial side that ended up closing down, and it was almost like $500,000.
Wow.
So literally every job was like, get me paid, put the check in the bank. That's our, like, literally our line of credit was the day we gave the check to the supplier until it cashed and came through our account.
Yeah.
So it's wild to it's, no. And honestly, me, yeah. I was run. No, we had nothing, no credit cards, nothing. And running that way. And then I was holding my checks so the guys would get paid.
Yeah.
So I can totally feel like I had no idea that was part of your story. So it just like hit home. It was like, holy shit. Like That's literally how my industry career started. I don't even know why I'm still in the industry. Probably should have quit right away.
But you didn't.
No, but like that, like you said, you put the work in, and it was probably the hardest 2 to 3 years, but you finally get it turned around, payroll's on time, taxes, tax debt goes down. Like, you start getting these things in place.
I've been so fortunate to have a role that was kind of sponsored by some major manufacturers, because some of the success I had early on when I got in the trades. And what I've learned is that there's a lot more people with stories like ours
than there are the stories that, like, we've seen on stage. And I love those stories, the rags to riches and the incredible rapid growth and then the sale to private equity firms and people becoming worth $100 million. I love it. But I think there's also something to be said for the people in the audience that are watching that have been in business for 15 or 20 years and they've not had that success. And as inspiring as those stories can be, I do think that it's relevant for us to have some conversations about the ones that didn't go that well. Because to me, those are what inspired me, because I knew not everybody was having the same kind of success at such a rapid rate. And for me, it was a great reminder, and I'll never make that mistake again. We always have to look for our responsibility in the situation, right? And I thought that the other two business owners had that part of the business, but that's my fault for not managing KPIs on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, not always looking at financials. I was so focused on recruitment, hiring, training and retaining, delivering first-class, world-class content, role-playing, practicing with our team, sales, margins, and I thought, we're selling at margin. But what I wasn't looking at was, how many people are we hiring so fast? How many trucks were we buying and all that expense? We went from a tiny little facility with no shelving, no internet, no desks, no chairs, no phone lines. Phones were on an old school answering machine. This is 2015, mind you, that when the phone would ring, and then once however many messages were there for the day, then that was when you could leave the message. This was summer of 2015. And what I failed to really do the math on was how fast we were growing and the amount of sheer expense that was being created by all that stuff.
Because even if you're doing your reporting, it's still a month late on if you're going through your QuickBooks. And
it's almost like a tidal wave that can come and get you, you know. Here in the HVAC business, we get really busy in the summer, as you know, is not news to anybody. And we're buying a lot of equipment and parts, and payroll's increasing. And so then all of a sudden that thing that catches up, you know, whether it's 30, 60 days, and I had mentioned that we were 90 days past due, which is, if you don't know and you're watching, that's when your distributor's going to cut you off.
Yeah.
They'll have a few conversations with you along the way. What I learned is, I will just say this, despite the success we had had before, when we crossed that 90-day mark, the sum was so large, I said, I'll just come down and write a check. I hadn't put any of my own money into the business at that time. And so I was married at the time, and I called my wife and I said, hey, we're going to have to wire a significant amount of money. And she's like, what's going on? I mean, she had no idea anything was wrong either. And I said, well, blah, 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 this is happening. So I called back my local distributor with this large manufacturer. And they said, Doug, your money's no good here. And I'm like, we just won Partner of the Year. And they said, yeah, but it's too much risk. And so anyway, even a check cash wasn't good. We had to really cure it, and we had to put a plan together. So if you're getting close to that 90-day mark, all I can do is encourage you to say, get that fixed. Do whatever it takes to get that balance paid down before you start churning past 90 days past due.
Well, I like the fact that you guys realize that instead of continuing to grow just to have that top line number that looked so fancy, you guys decided to come backwards and fix those things and start. Hey,
well, they didn't have a choice.
People want to push past growth and they just want to keep. Well, I'm going to keep growing. I'll find an investor. I'll find someone to give me the money.
Yeah.
But you don't actually fix the problem, and the problem just grows again, and doesn't go away.
I will say this too. This is one of the reasons why financials and KPIs are so important for all of us in business. You can trick yourself because everybody's getting paid and all the van notes and everything are getting paid. And you can, if you take your eye off it, you can kind of use your distribution and your manufacturers as a line of credit. And be real, real careful about that, because all of a sudden that, like we said, in the summer months, that number can get so big and then things slow down a little bit in our shoulders.
Then you
season.
Have to pay it.
You still got to pay it. They're not going to keep giving you the equipment.
Hey, I got $100,000 in your checking account. Well, your supply house bill is $150,000.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have $150,000.
You know what I'll say, too? I think one of the things that I really learned in that whole process, you know, we do a lot of training. I can't remember if you mentioned that yet or not, Tersh, but you had mentioned that. I think you did. You said you'd been to see us there a month or so ago. What I learned through that experience also, there's a number of lessons that are to learn. What I learned is that you do not have to discount. I truly learned firsthand experience that there's, in my mind, about 66, 67% of the marketplace that if we want to build a company based with a premium brand, you're going to have to charge premium prices. I'm never talking about price gouging or selling somebody something they don't need. We live by the grandmother rule in my teams and my family, and that is that if you wouldn't recommend it to your very own grandmother, sure as hell better not recommend it to a customer. So we're never selling somebody something they don't need. We're never overcharging, but it's time to grow a premium company. And take care of people and provide premium pay and serve if they're doing a good job, to provide things like company picnics and nights at the ballpark and employee of the year to Mexico with their family or, you know, Christmas parties at the Comedy Works. In order to do that, every bit of that takes money. To wrap your trucks takes money. To market takes money. To have a first class, you know, marketing company like yours, Josh, that takes money to do it right, to hire the company with value. And so what I learned was when we went through that and we put the brakes on growth, we still focused on sales, of course. And I just told the guys, we will not discount. No matter what, we're not going to discount. We're going to have to build even better value and we're going to have to sell at full margin. If you don't think you can sell at our prices, then this probably isn't the place for you.
How many
technicians at that time, and I cross-trained just about everybody. We were about 30 trucks on the road at that time. About, I think right at that time, 15, 16 technicians, all cross-trained, not all with the ability or the permission to go ahead with a full add-on replacement sale. And then we were running 2 to 3 full-time comfort advisors. And so we ran a combination where guys that were approved, if we could make it work on the schedule, they could call in and they could stay if we could cover their next service calls, and they would go ahead and move forward with our kitchen table sales process, or they would refer it to the comfort advisors. We just stopped discounting on anything. We didn't waive any more diagnostics. We didn't discount any repairs. We did not discount any add-on replacement jobs. And that was how we dug out of that hole. We had to sell at full retail or we were going to go out of business.
Yeah, and that was in 2018, 17.
So we won Linux Partner of the Year in 2016, and then we were awarded that in the spring of 2017 at a Linux Live. And so then it was just 1 month later after we had won Linux Partner of the Year. Yeah, and you know, things are kind of slow in Denver around April. No matter what people think around the country, weather is really, really nice there most of the year. We get some bad snowstorms that make national news, but we're pretty mild, believe it or not, down on the Front Range. It was very mild, and, you know, we never base our business on weather, but we weren't getting any help from the weather. And then there was a wave of debt that came and got us after a nice, strong winter of purchases. So that was 2017, and then we went through 2017, came back, and won Linux Partner of the Year for 2018. So that means that we would have picked up that award in the spring at Linux Live of 2019.
Okay. But it was so a year between. And that was the year that you guys kind of rebuilt and decided no discounts.
Yeah. Yeah. February 2020, I got out of the trades.
Oh, right before COVID.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have waited.
Very sure.
Maybe you should have waited.
That's like whenever I sold one of my houses, and like I sold it for $150,000 less than what the people that bought it from me sold it the next year in, what was it, 2020?
Well, that's the house with the house we looked at in Arizona. People bought it like 3 years prior and they doubled.
If only we had a crystal ball or had a little more Nostradamus as part of our DNA. Yeah, but you know, there were some challenges in that company, and there were some things that just didn't align with some nepotism type stuff, you know, favoritism of bloodlines. And it just wasn't resonating with me. I'll leave it at that. Great people there, but it left such a bad taste in my mouth. I left the trades for a bit, disappeared, built an all-natural sleep aid in some of the world's mass retailers like Walmart, Walgreens. And then I'm telling you, after 2 years away and COVID, it was kind of a lonely time for all of us. What I realized was, man,
you're wasting a talent.
Well, thank you, Tersh. What I realized was I was missing out on my passion. And my passion, I mean, I've been in the trades now for 18 years. My passion is working with salt of the earth, hardworking, honest patriots, people that bleed red, white, and blue, people that don't mind getting up early and working late, people that want to provide for their families. And I'll say this, as
good as some of the people were that I met in the throes of some of the largest corporations in the world, I missed the guys riding in vans and working with them. I missed the business owners that I'd met. I just missed it. And so I'm back. I've been back. I've been kind of behind the scenes for the most part, building something I think is in my plan, my vision is that's going to change the industry. And I think we're doing it. But I've been working behind the scenes for 2 U live events here and there. We've been very fortunate to pick up a few training awards.
Yeah, we met not a month ago at Service World Expo, but the year prior to that.
We met in Tampa.
Yeah. At Service World Expo.
Yeah, a little over a year ago. And then we were very fortunate. We joined Service Nation Alliance. They pursued us because we had been doing a number of training events for some of their clients. And they referred us to the top level leadership. Then they came and vetted us out. And we're very fortunate. I'm so proud of this because it's a reflection of our entire team. We won most value added to your business after an international vote by the Service Nation Alliance members. So we picked up that award in Nashville in April of 2023, just 6 months or so ago, whatever that was.
Oh, that's sweet. And that is with Synergy Learning Center.
Synergy Learning System.
.net. .net. Okay.
Well, it's funny because we had Rilla on and they have a .com and I'm like, what's wrong with you? Like, why don't you have a .ai? Like, you know, seriously.
Can I give a plug to Rilla real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sebastian Jimenez is one of the most talented young people I've ever met. I got a chance to meet Sebastian at that event in Nashville with Service Nation Alliance and we became friends, invested about 6 hours on the Nashville Strip together. Sebastian then sponsored a couple of our events, and anybody that knows me knows I'm really big on wordsmithing, word usage, effective listening. And so I'm really big on scripting, but nothing that like puts us in a straitjacket. None of that. It's about serving our customers better, and I believe that it's about ultimate preparedness. And so Sebastian sponsored a couple of our events, came out and spoke at one of our events, sent some of his C-level executives in at a different event to come in and speak. And to this day, I'll say this, I keep Sebastian's marketing pieces in all of my live event workbooks, whether he sponsors it or not, because I believe what Sebastian is doing is changing the game. Because if I was on the contracting side, I would have every technician, I'd have every comfort advisor, I'd have every CSR, and I would have every installer on a Rilla license just to make sure that we're doing what we say we're doing in every role play and every training. Because we can't be everywhere all at once, but his software and that AI and the ability to measure to a tenth of a percent. So anyway, Sebastian and I have become great friends, and I just can't recommend his product enough. And I'm not getting paid for that. I don't get any kickbacks.
No plug for that.
I just believe in it, and I'm going to keep his stuff in there in my books, because if you take a prepared process and then your people know, hey, I can get better or worse on every single call, they're going to get better.
Well,
or they're not a good fit.
Well, it's funny because we sometimes the NFL analogy gets put out there because it's run the play, right? Run the play,
yeah.
Play being the service call, but we only practice the play like once a month, maybe sometimes. And if it's summer, well, probably not at all, right? It's like, we ain't got time for that. Go run your calls.
And then wonder why you lost money in the summer.
In this technology, you literally get to see the play as someone that's managing that team or someone that's looking at that. You can see the play run almost in real time and then give instant feedback so that way the next play doesn't get screwed up. Because we've all had bad days.
Of course.
You go in and your whole demeanor sucks. Something's going on at home.
Yep.
You're like, I'm just going to get through these calls. This sucks. Like, whatever. I'm just, you know, you...
Some days basic, we just don't have it.
Basic band-aid, you know, but you at least know that.
Yeah.
And it can also provide feedback to be like, hey, maybe I need to call this person. Like, something's not right.
You know what else, Josh? I think there's times where our technicians are just exhausted or they got in a fight with their
spouse.
Especially
in the summer. Yeah.
Yeah. Or they're going through a divorce or they've got a kid that they're not able to see. We never know what's going on. But what I do believe with Rilla and being able to do that is if we've practiced it and we're prepared, maybe it's not a day where something's going as bad as what we just described, but it's something in between. I think what having Rilla in your pocket does is it gives the extra oomph, that thing, that moment of decision. Let's say you get down to the end and you ask for the order. And you can tell that homeowner's close. They've said they love you. They trust you. They just want to wait until next week, and then they're going to make the decision. if we've been trained on how to professionally handle an I want to think about it, I need to talk to my spouse, three bids, price objection, whatever it might be, but we don't say the words, then the training's not worth the page it was printed on, right? But if you knew you were being recorded and you were only having a partially bad day, and you already knew what to say, you just weren't in the mood to say it. If you knew you were being measured to a tenth of a percent, I believe you would say it. And I believe that's why the numbers I see from Sebastian are off the charts in growth, because now guys are actually doing it on the vast majority of their calls. I don't think when I joined that company and we grew in 14 months and won that award, I don't think we caught lightning in a bottle, as I've heard it described with some of these companies that just skyrocketed to success. We trained, and I don't care how hot it was, I don't care how cold it was, we trained, and our guys had, when they came on board, they knew what they were going to be held accountable to. They had to agree to that. We made no bones about it, and we made no exceptions. If you were going to run our calls, you were going to take our service calls, you were going to run our leads, you had to run it our way, right?
What did that training schedule look like? Because that, I mean, everyone's got a different mindset of that. And they're like, well, some people are like 5 days a week. Some are like, well, like once a week, once every other week.
Yeah. Well, number one, I think you got to get your team together at least once a week. That's my feeling in order to build a great company culture. So every Wednesday morning, we would have a company-wide meeting that would start at 6:30, and I would handle that because I love speaking in front of rooms and I love inspiring the team. So I would put the entire room together, and it was a feel-good meeting. The music started at 6, right? And people came in, and gave me a chance to high five, and it was all about a celebration once a week. Now we'd run from 6:30 to 8. We'd take a quick break if I had to do a meeting with a one-on-one for somebody who was, you know, maybe not holding up their end of the deal. We could handle one of those, and then we'd come back, and then we'd do 90-minute sales meeting. First, we'd do a service meeting. Those days, we would then come back and do a sales meeting. So if the sales team, if it was Comfort Advisor, they could go out and run a lead right after the company-wide, but then everybody would come time the service meeting was done. Then the Comfort Advisors would be back, and our meetings were heavily laden with role play. But the real answer to your question, Josh, is when we started in that, we did not have a facility to train in. Even as we started to grow, it was all one room. And so the phones started to be answered, and we didn't have a place. And I get kind of loud, you might, and sometimes I get a little hyper, and you've seen me speak live. I get really passionate. So there's no way I could do that while the girls were trying to answer the phones. So I'm very fortunate to have a nice place south of Denver. And so I just opened up my home and I turned my man cave into the sales cave, and then the service cave, the install cave, and the office cave. And so for sales especially, anybody that was going to be responsible for revenue generation on those calls, I wanted to put them through. And Tersh, I don't know if this will upset you or you'll relate.
It'll upset them.
But you're special forces, and you pulled a knife on me in Phoenix. And there's pictures of it to prove it.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
We were role playing, and I have this thing where we wordsmith. We change out certain words to elicit different emotions. And I had Tersh stand up, and we were in the aisle. And the word was, we're going to wordsmith the word problem to a better word, meaning the same thing. And so I had Tersh stand up, and I said, imagine we're out at the bar tonight. And, you know, I've been looking at your girl or whatever. And all of a sudden I stand up and I come over and we're toe to toe. And I look at you and I go, you got a problem? And Tersh is like, I don't think so. And I said, you got a problem? Is there a problem? And all of a sudden I look down, he's got a switchblade. He's got a knife like an inch away. And I'm like, there's a picture of me like, whoa, there it is. Of course.
He's always carrying it.
Now I'm always very careful around Tersh everywhere. But anywhere Tersh is, now I'm trying to befriend the guy. And everywhere he goes, I want to go with him because I know he's prepared.
Is that why you decided to do this? You just want to be friendly? You didn't want Tersh to pull a knife on you?
Anything I can do to help Tersh with the cause. But here's the thing. So getting back on track at the risk of doing that, here's what I was going to say. And this is, I don't think Tersh will be offended. I created what I called the sales cave. And it was one Friday a month, and I had those guys show up at 6:30. I would feed them breakfast, and we would do this around my second kitchen. It was a kitchen in the basement down in my man cave. And by 7 o'clock, we were training. So it was a little bit of camaraderie and man time. And for 30 minutes, we'd break bread, and we'd have burritos or whatever. At 7 o'clock sharp, we would go into training. And here's why I related it to Tersh's Special Forces. I wanted to make this like Navy SEAL buds training for sales guys. I figured if I could put them through the ringer, like putting those guys in the water in San Diego, right? I would work our team so hard with every possible objection, area of concern, everything that you can imagine, the weirdest stuff, the craziest stuff, the hardest stuff, the engineer type objection, all of it. And we would do it until 9 p.m. Take little quick bathroom breaks. We would cater lunch. And I put them through 14 straight hours of role play every Friday. Well, Friday sales, and the next Friday was text, and then the next Friday was office, and then I would do install once a quarter.
Because the entire day.
Yep. Hot or cold.
You would, so even if you had demand calls coming in, all your service techs were there.
Absolutely. Full dress, full uniform. Well, I was fortunate. I had two business partners that actually knew how to service and install. But we tried not to have too many emergencies. And we built a decent sized team pretty quick. So yeah, we you know, there's some of those things that might not work. Nothing's going to work for everybody all the time, right? It's not a one size fits all. But I will just tell you this. One of the biggest mistakes that I see fellow contractors make is when they decide to stop training because it's hot. When they decide to stop training because it's cold, and that is the absolute worst time.
I was just going to say,
when we should make the most revenue.
It's the opposite of what you should. You should be training more.
Yes.
Because you have more calls and you're in more homes. Because it's easy to train when you have time, but then you don't use it, and it just. Yeah.
I can share this with you too, and I appreciate you bringing that up. Every time we would walk out of those sales caves, revenue went through the roof. Because guys were re-inspired.
So
they
it made
practiced.
Up for it.
Well, it's funny because we see that.
It made up.
Oh, it more than made up for it. Yes.
Well, and so what we see across the country is when you bring in sales trainers like a Joe Passaro, who's here this week, service MVP and stuff like that, you bring them in and they see a spike in revenue, but the training's not kept up with. So it's a momentary spike unless they have something to continue to carry them on and get the next spike. And the next, you know, and then eventually the basement of where they're going to be is going to be, you know, up here.
Yeah. So. I want to share something else that happened in that sales cave. And this is why I say it was like Navy SEAL buds training. I wasn't just trying to wear them out. I wanted them so exhausted because our brains work differently when we're exhausted versus when we're fresh, right? And so we would have to keep resetting the subconscious. And so we would do different things, and I would do different things to shake them up and different kinds of role plays. But we started to develop. Every time we would come in, we had a little bit more of a refined system. We got to the point. Every single role play, I would literally have an 8.5 by 10, 11 page that has line items on even a 90-second role play, like 20 different things that we're looking for, from pauses to cadence to wordsmithing to how did we ask the question, what kind of voice inflection, did we do the last two words on a downtone, on an uptone? All of those things matter. Every detail, I believe, in sales and influence matters. And so it's not just the script. It's not just the words that we're sharing. It's everything. And it's eye contact and it's body language. And so all these things were being measured. And so our chief operating officer right now at Synergy, Chris McCollum, it's like we're putting the band back together. Chris was our service manager. Anytime we had him in the field running service or sales, he was our number one revenue generator, number one close rate. But he was also our service manager, and he was busy, and he implemented Service Titan for us and helped me work with the call center, all that. But the guys started getting upset because we had pretty nice prizes, cash awards, for whoever walked out of there as king, right? When they would walk out of Sales Cave once a month, there was a nice cash prize for first place, and second place was a set of steak knives. I'm just kidding. You know what movie that's from? No. Glengarry Glen Ross, one of the best sales scenes of all time. Alec Baldwin. Glengarry Glen Ross, it's 7 minutes, 14 seconds. It's always every year rated the number one sales scene by salespeople all over the world. Anyway, that's this little side note. Anyway, our guys, we would end up, our biggest sales cave ever was 16 men in there working on our kitchen table sales process, and all 15 of them wanted to beat Chris. Never once did Chris lose. All my rule was as I don't care how bad you guys want to win, just don't cheat. Be men of integrity. If he messes something up, mark him off. But if he does it perfect, then give him credit. And there were a couple times a couple of guys towed up to him, but nobody ever beat Chris. He's that good. And he just took it seriously. Practice and practice and practice. And the other thing I will say this, there is a difference, and it's a little nuance in role play, but it's going to make all the difference in the world. What I see, and I take a lot of pride in being a great role player, like a real kitchen table. What I see... Number one, we don't make it fun enough for our team, so our technicians don't want to do it.
We got to make it fun. We got to celebrate things. It's not about embarrassing anybody. It's getting better. It's about constant and consistent improvement. But the other thing, once we're role-playing, the biggest challenge that I see is we allow people to do what I call step out of role-play and say the words, well, what I would say there is, that is not role-play. What I say is you got to sit in it. And there was an example here in the Tommy Mello event today where one of the speakers, I think it was Keith Mercurio, asked an audience participant a question. And the guy didn't have the answer. And instead of Keith interrupting or giving him the answer, they just sat there. And what I call, he let him sit in it. And it was awkward. Their entire audience, however many people are here, but it was 700, it was silent for about 15 seconds. And the guy gathered.
That's a long time when 700 people are staring at you.
Oh, my gosh.
That feels like an eternity.
And then this man, I think his name was Edwin. I hope I didn't get it wrong. That man came back and gave the perfect response. It was about 10 seconds long, but it was the perfect response. He got a chance to collect his thoughts. So what I always shared with my team is you never, ever, ever break role play. If you get lost, you just sit there. I don't care if we have to sit there for 3 minutes while the blood comes back to your head and you gather your breath and you sit there and you think, and I don't care if you get it wrong. We have been programmed since we were children to not speak up in class, to not get the answer wrong because your friends are going to snicker.
Yep.
And you're going to be the outcast. And so
could you imagine?
We're afraid of failure.
Could you imagine being dyslexic, have a speech impediment, and be ADHD?
I'd probably go into special services and pull knives on people.
And then not be diagnosed until you're an adult.
Tersh, you really went through all that?
Yep. Everybody. That's the reason I started the podcast. I wasn't diagnosed until after the podcast.
You know what he reminds me of, and I've never said this on the show. The guy that used to do the, I think it was the Dos Equis commercials, like the most interesting man in the world. Do you remember those ads?
Yes.
It's like literally him.
Yeah, maybe you're interested.
Special forces, he wears a suit every day. His feet are full of blisters, yet he's still wearing them fancy-ass shoes.
This guy, I mean, you talk about fancy.
Yeah.
He is the best-dressed person everywhere I go. By the way, Terse, I didn't mean any offense. I joke around sometimes too much. We've gotten to know each other a little bit.
No, you're not.
But when
no
I said you'd go special forces, Dude, I am so impressed by you, and I know a little bit of your story. But honestly, I can't imagine what that would have been like. I'm not the smartest guy. I always like to say Dwayne The Rock Johnson stole my line, which is I'm always going to be the hardest worker in the room. The dude could outlift me, but yeah. Other than that, I think
he
I could outwork.
He could lift you.
He could lift me. He could
not
outlift
just
me.
Outlift you. He could lift
ass.
You.
But, Tershom, wow. I can't imagine. I've never had to face that challenge of being dyslexic. But what I do know is that
getting up and reading a speech in public speaking and the public speaker, the teacher, it was an elective, and he didn't want to be there. That was the worst class I had ever. And I did it as a senior, and I had to take it, and I had already pretty much graduated. And I was taking college courses. I only had to go to the high school to take public speaking.
Hmm. I know that you guys have seen me speak at some of these events around the country, and you know that I give away a lot of cash.
Yeah.
The cash, though, isn't for the right answers, right?
Right.
Cash is for participation. And what I'm trying to do is rewire the brain of the audience that it doesn't matter if you have the right answer, that matters that you tried. It matters that you got out of your comfort zone. And so I would do that with my guys. I do it at every one of our speaking events. Carry a pocket full of cash to reward participation and to reward effort, not correctness. And so it's because we are all suffering, maybe you more than most of us, Tersh. We all suffer from worrying about being wrong. And so the reason why, and one of the biggest things that I see that's not happening in the trades, is that we're not forcing our guys to role play. And so therefore, our processes aren't getting implemented in the vans or in the homes, because if they're not comfortable doing it in the facility, and they go, well, I don't want to do it here, but I'll do it in the house. I just want to do it here in front of you guys. They're never going to do it like they could have done it in the house because they're not getting that practice. So I just didn't ever allow that. And when we made it part of our culture, our guys got better and better. And every week they loved it more and more. They looked forward to role play. And because we celebrated the effort and we didn't beat people up for being incorrect, it got more and more fun. And guys wanted to do it. So I would encourage anybody watching, if you're having challenges getting you guys to role play, let's make it fun. Let's reward the effort, not the perfection. Reward them for trying. And I'll also say this. Imagine you're in a room of 20 guys in an event,
And we're all saying, who would like to step up here and try what we just learned? Everybody just sits there. Most of the time, everybody sits there. And the more nervous people are, when one person finally gets the courage to stand up, how does the other 19 people in the room feel about that person, no matter how bad he screws up the role play, or she?
That's like when...
glad it wasn't me.
That's like when you have a class project and the teachers... The teacher will take volunteers first, and you know nobody wants to volunteer. There's always one that will volunteer, and then... Man, I should have done it.
Should have done it. And here's what I think.
Because no matter what, like that's what it's almost like setting the bar.
Yes.
Right? They set the bar, and now it's like, oh shit, now I gotta be better than that. That was actually pretty good.
Yep.
And it only gets worse from there.
What I have found is even the person, if they screwed it up terribly, every one of us in the room have more respect for that person because they tried. And that's why I think our brain says, I should have got up there and tried.
You know, Doug, I think we joke about this because sometimes these podcast episodes, even though I don't have an HVAC business, but we have account managers who talk to customers all the time. And contractors are a hard audience to please sometimes. Yes. And then on the same thing on the sales process, and I know exactly what you're talking about because at the last HVAC company, we had a regular process where we went over this stuff. We role played. I saw the success of it. And we keep talking about doing it. Keep talking about doing it, and we haven't done it yet. So I feel like you're literally speaking to me. Like this is a moment for me. Now my wife's flying in here next. Like, okay, now we got something to talk about tonight.
I love that.
This needs to be done.
This is like you haven't seen each other in a week. This is what you talk about.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, wait. Let me just clarify.
That'll be after a hug and a kiss.
Well, wait a minute. What I heard Josh say is him and his wife are going to role play tonight.
That's exactly what I heard.
They're role playing tonight. That's what we're talking about, role play. Hey, I want to also say this. The more, like I said, the more we do it, the more fun we make it, the more we make it a reward for the effort.
I think that's the real point. So is one, I know that has to happen, but make it fun and make it where it's not awkward. Because I think that's the thing, because we haven't started it in this business and we keep talking about it. It's an awkward thing, especially at first. When you're not used to it, it's like awkward as all hell. It's like because people are going to do, and I do that when I've done role play. Well, I would do this, or I would just stay in the moment and try. Just keep trying, and it eventually gets better.
Sit in the moment.
Sit in it.
Yeah. I love that.
You know, another thing is I think that here in the trades, most of us, as far as the men in the trades, we were usually the athletes. We were the guys, they were the alphas. We were the guys working on cars and tractors and, you know, tinkering with stuff. And I'll be honest with you.
Omegas, not him.
We were the Marines and, you know, a lot of military people.
He was in the chair force, but he didn't work on nothing.
The other thing is, my son's going into the Air Force.
Yeah. You know those bombers you called in? I worked on those. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's why they kept breaking.
My oldest son was in the Navy. He worked on nuclear stuff.
Damn.
That's
cool.
So, keep us back on topic, Doug.
He's getting derailed here.
I lost my train of thought. Anyway,
there you go.
What were we talking about?
I was talking role
playing.
About
oh yeah, role Brittany role coming in town. What?
One of the things that I think we just have to do is make it fun and never, never, never miss a role play meeting. Stop missing our sales meeting. And, I know what I was going to say. Let's set the stage for our team. Oh, I know what I was going to say. We're all military and athletes and all that. We tend to be real smart asses. We're a bunch of funny people that razz each other, and our teams get into each other a little bit in a fun way. So what I would say is let's embrace that. At the same time, let's also, for that 1 hour, that 90 minutes a week, whatever it might be at your organization, let's encourage our teams to be supportive of one another. What I found is the guys that are entering in and kind of coming into our culture that haven't had this kind of role play, they're really nervous. And so our guys would be supportive. They'd still razz them a little bit because that's what we as guys do. But what I found is, let's say that we go around the room and we have 8 guys role play total. We'd make the guy that's the most nervous. Let's just get it out of the way so you don't have to sit there and waller in this.
And make it worse.
Build it up.
Get it. And you know what he does at the end? He does it, and then he watches 7 guys do it. He wants to get up there and do it again because now he's like, okay, I did it. I saw how hard it was, what I missed. I watched 7 other guys do it.
Well, if they do it first, they see other people, and they'll see where they struggle. They think that the tech that's better than them, they're still struggling. Oh, this isn't that big, hairy, audacious thing I thought it was when I was first going to do it.
I love it. The Jim Collins reference, right? Yeah. Good to great.
So here's, I have a question for you. So I love this whole thought process, but what do you say to people that I've heard say this? I don't want everybody want to have personality, and if they have to say the same thing over and over and over and over again, then they're going
to. I completely disagree. I 100% disagree. At our live events, they last 3 days and they go for about 30 hours, 10 hours a day. I invest a full hour of that 30 on this very topic. So I know we don't have that amount of time, so I'm going to condense it.
Which events are you talking about?
All of our 3 day live events.
Okay, you're for
Synergy Learning Systems.
Okay.
We do CSR, full CSR training, tech training, comfort advisor training, and leadership training based on the seven habits. I've been a seven habits facilitator for 13 years now. Here's my real answer in a condensed form. When we think about that, a Zig Ziglar quote comes to mind. And Zig said, every word, and I don't like the word salesperson, but Zig said it, and he passed in 2012, so I'm going to use Zig's word. Every word out of a salesperson's mouth should be scripted, yet never should one word sound as though it is. So here's my condensed version of what I have to say to this objection, area of concern that you voiced. I believe what Zig was really saying was scripting and the perfect execution of a script is all about ultimate preparedness. I can role play word for word 99.9% of all of our stuff, and we do it on video, and then people can listen to it, they can watch it over and over, they can read along in our workbooks. Our team could do the same thing, and that's how Chris McCollum was able to win all those things, because he was just darn near perfection. When you're so well prepared that you know exactly, and I mean exactly, what you're going to say in any and every possible situation that you could come up on a service call or a sales lead or in a call center, you no longer have to worry about what you're going to say. You know exactly what you're going to say, and you focus on how you're going to say it. So not only do you not feel like the straitjacket when you're ultimately prepared, this is why Zig Ziglar said it, not me. Every word out of a salesperson's mouth, I'm going to change that to influencer so I don't keep saying it. Every word out of anyone's mouth that is tasked with influencing somebody else should be scripted, yet never should one word sound as though it is. When we're ultimately prepared, we can focus on voice inflection, pauses, cadence, performance, body language, reading their eyes, reading how they're reacting to everything that you're saying. And so to me, scripting is so, so vital. And that's why I think Sebastian's going to change the world. Because at Rilla, now you're going to know who's on script and who's not. You're going to be able to measure best practices down to a tenth of a percent. And if you're off script, let's imagine this. Imagine a guy like Chris McCollum at my company goes in and nails a script at 95% in an actual sales lead and has the highest sales close rates, has the highest margin, doesn't drop his price, does exactly what we're doing in role plays in Sales Cave once a month, and he's by far our top performer. And then you got another guy with a bad attitude that's saying the price is too high, that the economy sucks, that people don't want to buy on value, that we're overpriced. You guys have heard it all. Got to get three bids. Got to talk to the spouse. They couldn't make a decision. They didn't like our brand. They wanted another brand. And then you pulled that report from Sebastian, from his company, and you went, well, you only did 7% of our script. Maybe the process works. Maybe we should just focus on working on the process before this you tell us it doesn't work.
Chris is proving that. So like my question to Sebastian, what if nobody's following the script, so you don't have anybody to say, oh, well, boy. I don't have a Chris.
Oh, boy. Can I talk about a product we've created?
Yeah, absolutely. You talk.
I don't know how we're doing on time. Sometimes I just...
We're about our level, but you go.
Let's go through this.
You go.
Here's what... This challenge that you brought up, Tersh, I never want to... I always want our value to speak for itself. But what you just asked is a challenge that most all of us are facing that are watching this. We have this challenge because there's this culture that runs rampant within the trades that guys don't want to be a quote unquote sales guy, salesperson. I don't want to sell anything. What I believe they're really saying is, I got in here because I want to work with my hands and I'm good at it, and I want to work with my tools and I'm the best at that, and I don't want to sell anybody something. And so then they go out and they have a cigarette and they're talking to each other and they're like, yeah, I don't want to sell. I don't want to do that. I just want to do what I'm called there for. What I like to do is work on the mindset to say, are you really serving them well? Look at cancer rates. Look at cancer. I mean, there's all these studies from the EPA. There's studies about indoor air quality. There's studies about, you know, women that work in the home contract cancer 58% more
than women that work outside the home. Our homes are killing us. This carpet that we're sitting on, right? VOCs, yes. Mm-hmm. Dust, dirt, debris. We're getting sick. We're sicker than we've ever been before. And so are we really serving our homeowners if we're in there and their furnace is out or their hot water's out and we could solve other challenges by bringing them up? Now, what we've created is a system that I believe we've been able to break through the clutter, create ways to communicate through our wordsmithing program, our listening sequence, our sentence structure, our empathic listening. Everything that we teach and everything I've learned in 30 years in business and studying psychology and communication and 18 years in the trades, we've customized for HVAC and plumbing. The reason I asked about if I could share product, for 2 years, we've shot thousands of videos, fully produced. I have a master videography and 11 video editors around the world. We're creating 7 to 12 minute manageable chunks. And for the first time ever, what I believe is we're creating a way to overcome the challenge that you just outlined. It's addressing every bit of the human experience of our people in the trades, the CSRs, the techs, the comfort advisors, the leadership. We put it in 7 to 12 minute miniature chunks that are manageable to learn. And then we included interactivities. And this is through the same company on the back end of our website that billionaires are using in training, like Grant Cardone and Zig Ziglar's company and Damon John of FUBU and a lot of others. A lot of times what I see with video training and virtual training, guys don't like it because it's the quote CE course, continuing education. Guy clicks play, goes and makes dinner with his wife. And then he goes back and he goes, yeah, boss, I did it. Well, you can't do that with ours because we have to get engagement. So what we did is first made our videos very entertaining. Everyone is like a little miniature movie, fully produced, music, B-roll, entertainment, humor, emotion, inspiration. And about halfway through every video, we stand to the side and four boxes come up and it makes it interactive and almost like, you ever read one of those Goosebump books with kids or when you were younger, it's a choose your own adventure story. Yeah. We have engaged our audience and we just did a pre-launch at Service World Expo last month. We've been working on this for years, and really it's my life's work now in video, but we're engaging the audience, and for the first time ever, we are providing business owners in the trades KPIs on the personal development and engagement of their team. The way we're doing that, when an interactivity, let's say it's our first video, and the video comes up, and 6 minutes in, and it says, the owner of your company is invested in you and in this training program, and most likely has assigned you a certain number of videos per week. How are you feeling about being here? Four questions, four answers come up on screen, and they're going to have to click on one. So now they can't be over making dinner, right? They can't be watching the football game. They can't be throwing the football with the kid. They got to be paying attention. Let's say that the first answer is, I'm so glad I've been waiting for something like this. Second answer is, I'm not sure. I'm keeping an open mind, though. The third answer is something in between that, and the last answer is, I'd rather put a bullet in my head. Whatever, right? Something about it. It wouldn't actually be that. Let's say it was that. If you have a guy that says, I'd rather be anywhere but here, now you know the temperature of your team. You know that guy if he's being a smartass, if he's taking your investment seriously. Every click in our system is tracked. You're also going to know if you have a guy that says, I'm excited or I'm keeping an open mind. That's tracked. As soon as they click it, we've now shot four custom videos based on their answer. So whatever they select, we're going to come back and address it for a few minutes. And now they're going to feel like we're actually talking to them. Even though it's not live and they know it's not live, every video is interactive and then we're going to have a response custom.
That's a lot of videos.
Thousands.
Yeah.
Fully produced. That's why we have 11 video editors, a master videographer. I've been doing this for 2 years, 15 hours a day. I'm a workaholic. That's why I say there's nothing out there that's ever been created like this. So then at the end of the video, so now we all come back together for the last, let's say, 4 to 6 minutes of this video after I do the custom. At the end of the video, there's a quiz. If they weren't paying attention, if they weren't taking notes, they can't pass the quiz. If they don't pass the quiz, the business owner and the leadership's going to know. They got to go watch the video again. They cannot fast forward. They got to go through it again. This time, just to keep them engaged, if they want to try a different one of those interactivity answers, choose your own adventure, they can click that one, and now they get a different response from me. So it's a different video. Now they're like, this is pretty cool. They get to the end. Now they took notes. They took it serious. At the end of the week, and the business owner can log it in any time, thousands of videos, mindset training, empathic listening, some of my 7 habits stuff, wordsmithing, it's all in there, plus customized role plays from the call aheads to the CSRs to the arrival at the door, the entryway, the stat, everything, HVAC and plumbing, kitchen table, asking for the order, optional repairs, everything. Every single thing is in there that you could imagine that I've learned in 18 years in the trades. And at the end of the week, you're going to get a report in your inbox that shows you down to the second how much your team is trained. Since we launched this a little over a month ago, we have companies where team members, technicians pushed back on it, didn't want to be involved in it. Companies said, all right, do 3 videos a week. 3 videos is going to be an investment of about 20 minutes for a week. They could do that in their windshield time. You can play these on any kind of digital device. They said, we'll pay you for 3. We have people doing over 60 videos a week, over 10 hours of training. We had a CSR in Galveston, Texas, on her own time. The first week, she'd never been in any training like this, got inspired and saw how she could change her life and increase her lot in life. 17 hours on her own time. She was assigned 3. She did 17 hours. She did 63 or 67 videos, something like that. It's working. And so the answer to your question, Tersh, is what do you do if you guys still don't want to do it? There's a whole bunch of things we can do, but the first thing is we got to change the mindset. If a guy's pushing back on that, I think if I was to take a guess, it's because they think we as the business owner just want to make money off their backs and they don't see the value in it for them. I would also say that over time, we got to make sure that we get the right people on the bus, to borrow that Jim Collins reference again. Over time, get the wrong people off, but I'm never wanting to let go of somebody prematurely. I have a whole system over a 30-day period where we kind of do a course correction in a very loving and kind and clear way. And we kind of let the tech or the CSR or whoever, the installer, decide, here's our expectations. We want this to work out. But if you come up on the end of these 30 days and are still not willing to help us grow the business, the culture, the legacy, the servitude that we're after,
we've got to release you to better opportunities.
There's a nice word, Smith.
Yeah, he's good at that one.
We're gonna.
He's practiced.
I've said that one.
He's practiced a few times.
I've got that one. Bring somebody in and I say, Tersh, we've decided that we're gonna go ahead and free up your future and go ahead and allow you to pursue other opportunities that might be a better fit for you.
Yeah.
That's the same thing as you're fired, but much nicer, a little bit of words.
With a smile on your face.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guys, if I, like, all I'm saying
How can people sign up for that?
Oh, well, we're in pre-launch phase, and so even though I'm never about teaching anyone to discount, because we're in pre-launch and I have another over 100 coaching videos that I want to add to that for it to really be complete, by most people's standards, I think it would be complete, but I tend to overtrain. I don't know. But man, I don't want to leave any rock uncovered.
14 hours every Friday. I don't think you overtrain.
Well, because you're special forces.
It's so funny when I
when lives are on the line, it's okay to train a lot, right? But if we're just talking about some indoor air quality and some variable speed, we don't need to train.
Yeah. Right? That's crazy, because I asked you a question. I had no idea what your
and
answer was. I thought it was
going
to be like 5 days a week or something like that. Yeah. You know, 14 hours.
Just remember.
In a cave.
Yeah,
of
to
sorts.
Clarify, though, that's once a month, Friday.
Yes.
But I'm doing it every Friday because I got different groups coming in. And sometimes I got techs that are cross-training. And by the way, a privilege to get invited to that. If you show up this month and next month, you haven't worked on what your assignments were and what you didn't do well last month, you're not going to get invited back for a while. Doesn't mean you're going to get fired, but it also means you're not going to get the privilege of running one of our badass kitchen table sales leads. I mean, listen, there's guys in this industry making $250,000, $500,000. I heard recently there's a guy out in Cali, $750,000, $800,000, selling HVAC at the kitchen table. There are people in our industry, if you really get serious about this, that are making more than surgeons with 16 years of additional schooling after high school. Specialties, right? And so I think it's worth it. And I just think it's worth it because we're serving homeowners better. So you asked how they can get involved. If you go to synergylearningsystems.net, just fill out an About Us form. We'll schedule an onboarding or a discovery call. Usually lasts about 60 minutes. I typically will jump on there with Chris McCollum, our chief operations officer. We also have Elizabeth, our VP of business development. And we can walk you through that. And everything that we do comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee. Always an ability to test drive our services. And if you don't think it's the best training you've ever had, if you don't think it, let me back up. I don't ever want to say we're the best at anything. I do think we've created something different. There's a lot of great trainers out there. A lot of them that I've seen walking by here.
some amazing people, legends in our industry. I think we're a little different in a couple of the ways that we approach things, and I think it's working. So what I would say is, if you come to one of our events and you don't think it's going to work for you, then we'll give you your money back. I would not ever want to keep somebody's hard-earned revenue, because it is hard to earn in this business. I would never want to keep somebody's hard-earned revenue if they didn't think they got the value. I don't want to keep their money. And so that's my job to deliver every time, and our team's job. So unconditional money back guarantees on all of our training, whether it's virtual or in person. And I would just say, reach out to us, because Dr. Covey shared something with me in 2011. He passed in 2012, but he knew I was in the trades. And he said, Doug, Dr. Covey, the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. He said, Doug, you can be efficient with machines. You cannot be efficient with people. So sometimes I feel like I'm a little long-winded, but I just care so much. I want to make sure people have all the information they need in order to make an informed decision. And so, to just throw out a price on here, it's more than affordable if you use it and implement it. And if you don't, you're wasting your money, and it's not going to be worth the paper it's printed on.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. We won't leave a price, because this is evergreen, so it'll be here forever. So.
And those prices are going up. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Okay, we are in a pre-launch phase. It's a great time to get involved, and I've guaranteed everybody that's joining us during the pre-launch, give us a little feedback on any button that didn't work. I mean, we're a pre-launch. We're in beta, but it's a program that's working for people. So thanks for not holding me accountable to the pricing or to the investment. But I will say, anybody that joins us, because I'm so big on something I learned in high school in a small town, when you go to the dance with somebody, you leave with the one you came with. And so when people are willing to take a shot on me, I'm never going to forget the people who got involved and were the early adopters. And so anybody that gets involved in a pre-launch, I do guarantee you this, the investment will never, ever, ever increase. You get involved early on at a significant discount as a pre-launch, you're never going to end up being asked to invest more.
Cool. Love That's that. SynergyLearningSystems.net. Doug, thank you for hanging out with us.
This was great, Doug.
Yeah, appreciate
you guys
it.
Are amazing.
Yeah,
you guys are becoming legends in front of my eyes.
We even got a banner with our freaking faces on it. I mean, that's amazing. That just showed up for us. We didn't make that.
You're right.
And by the way, can I just say, before we go off, are we still on?
Yeah, we're still on.
Dude, I got a man crush on you. You look so good. What have you done with your health? You are like a force to be reckoned with.
I'm trying. Mm-hmm. I'm relentless.
Relentless.
He's relentless.
Tim Grover reference?
Relentless Digital.
Oh, Relentless Digital. That's right.
Yeah, that's the name of the company.
Of course, I do know Relentless Digital. Yeah. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. But you're working out. You're just doing the thing, right?
Doing the thing. Hey, moved to Arizona to be healthy.
We left the condo at 6:30. I got up at 6 o'clock to him coming back to the condo from running around the gymnasium or running around the complex because the gym wasn't open. He got up at 4:30.
You're
to
running.
Go running around. I was like,
that's what it takes, though, right?
No.
even when you're on a business trip, you're doing the thing, and that's just the same.
Well, if I don't, full disclosure, my trainer's going to kick my ass when I get back, and it's going to hurt for a week. So I do want to try to keep up a little bit.
It's accountability, because if we were holding our teams accountable to role play, rain or shine, hot or cold, right, whether you're on a business trip or not.
Well, that's exactly it. It's the accountability part, because I know, come back, so we get back next week Friday after Women in HVACR, that workout's going to be tough.
If you do it consistently, with consistency, it'll work.
Yeah. Cool.
You guys
appreciate
great.
You. Yeah. Thank you, everybody that hung out with us to the end. We'll talk again soon. Actually, in about 10 minutes, probably. No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Service Business Mastery. Now that you are equipped with essential business advice from this impactful conversation, you are one step closer to becoming the successful owner of your dreams. If this episode has been helpful to your business journey, don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a rating, and share it with other owners as well. Visit servicebusinessmastery.com to learn more.